Oh God, we come to you and we thank you. You are good. We see your goodness in everything, in those good moments, and in those moments that we put in the bad moment category. We see your goodness and faithfulness, even then, especially then. So we thank you, God. Thank you, God, that we can be family. Thank you that we can be your family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, on that note, happy Father's Day. This is the one I wait for all year because you say it back to me. Mother's Day, we can't do that. So let's try that again. Happy Father's Day. There we go. okay, have you ever noticed that the word father evokes emotion in everyone? Sometimes we hide it. Sometimes it's good emotion. Sometimes it's bad emotion. Have you ever noticed that the word father always makes you feel something? And if it makes you feel something good, then you just naturally assume, well, everybody feels something good when they hear the word father. And if you feel something bad, when you hear the word father, if you have bad memories or there's just a vacuum there, a space where there wasn't, and maybe you feel anger or hatred, or you have a hard time feeling, understanding how anyone could feel good emotions with when they hear the word father. But if you have good memories, and if you're thankful, and if you say, I can't believe that is what the word father meant to me in my life, then you feel incredibly good emotions. But either way, the word father brings out emotions in us, good and bad. And I think the reason why is because we've been made wired, and we'll see why as we go through this. You know why, though, but it won't be a shock to anybody. We've been made to need a father. That's how we're wired and designed as people, as humans. We're made to need that love of a father. When my father would tell me he loved me and put his arm around me, it normally happened when we were going hunting. So I would get up in the morning really early, which I hate doing. I would go out in the cold. Hate doing that. I would sit in trees in the cold. I know, it is the most miserable behavior you would ever experience, but I would do it because part of that was I was with my dad, and he loved doing that, so I would do that with him. And then sometimes he would put his arm around me and say he loved me, and it was just, we need that. However you got that or wanted to get that or imagined it would be like if you had that, we need that love and approval. We need their presence. We need them to physically be there with us. And when they're not, that creates just a huge gaping hole inside of us. We need their guidance. I needed my dad to show me how to change the oil, and then I wish he wouldn't have. I would just send me to Jiffy Lube. And we need them to tell us not just that, but how to live and how to make decisions and how to be a person. Remember, if you're a mother, or were a mother, or have aspirations to be a mother, I remember the Mother's Day talk. I'm not leaving any of that out. This is just specifically directed in one direction, okay? And we need the protection when bad things happen. I mean, my wife is one of the most capable people that I know, but when bad things happen, like, you know, there's noise at night or something, or a door is left open, guess who my boys come to? Yes, that's right. We look to our fathers for protection, for provision, and for identity. I carry around my dad's last name. I'm like him. Luckily, not in every department yet, but see, that was not nice. You shouldn't have laughed at that. We get our identity from our fathers. When I talk and I hear myself speak, I'm like, I sound just like my dad. I never, when I was younger, would have thought that would have been a good thing. It's probably not, but it makes me happy inside. When I laugh, I laugh just like my dad laughs. I can hear my dad laughing when I laugh. I call it the Konarski cackle. Konarski is my last name. It's not a nice laugh, but I get my identity from that. We look for that in our father. And God affirms that. Look, we're going to look at a lot of verses this morning, so I'm going to read fast, and I'm going to probably go through them faster than you can find them in your Bible. If that's a challenge for you, wonderful, take that challenge, because I've pasted them into my notes. God affirms that because of the instructions that he gives to fathers to guide and to direct and to take care of their children. Look at Ephesians 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up. Raise them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. It, almost as if throughout the whole day the father was going to be there with his children so he could teach them in those moments. That's what God says. We need that. We look for that in our father. We're made with that need. And unfortunately or fortunately, whichever way you say the sentence, each one of our earthly fathers they fulfill that role of being a father that we need in shades of degrees of perfection or degrees of imperfection. In other words, there's not such a thing as a perfect father amongst us. As good of a day as we should all have if we're fathers, as good of a day as good as gifts as we should get if we're all fathers, none of us really deserve them completely. Why? Because we're not perfect fathers. We're shadows of perfection. We're shadows of imperfection. Some are very, very weak shadows to the point where others say, that's not much of fathering going on. Others are good shadows of a father and reflect what a father should be very well. But no one does it perfectly. And because of that, because we need that, and because none of us receive it perfectly, no matter how good or bad your father was, we're all marked by our fathers, by their presence and by their absence, by the ways that they were less than perfect and fulfilled less than perfectly the needs that we have for that father. Because no matter how good they were, they weren't a perfect father. And I know I don't have to ask it because we're talking about it, but how does that look in your life? How were you marked positively and negatively by your father? As you think about that, okay, the big idea, and this doesn't come from one verse, this is one of those themes that goes through the whole Bible. And sometimes I like to just grab one of those themes and just pull verses because they're everywhere. And then as we're pulling verses, you'll think of other verses that we had to leave on the floor that we couldn't read because these themes just go from the beginning and to the end of the Bible. And one of those themes is this, that God is the true and perfect Father. God is the true and perfect Father. Look at Isaiah. There's tons of verses, and you're going to think as we read through these verses, yeah, but what about this other one and this other one? And right, we couldn't read them all, and the reason you'll think of others is because this is a theme that goes through the whole Bible. Isaiah 63, verse 16, for you are our Father, talking to God. Though Abraham does not know us and Israel does not acknowledge us, you, O Lord, are our Father. Our Redeemer from of old is your name. Flip over a page, Isaiah 64, verse 8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Psalm 89. That's backwards. I meant to go in order. Verse 26. He shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Go to the end of the Old Testament, the Malachi 2, verse 10. Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Go forward to Matthew chapter 5. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And you'll notice in these verses, Jesus is going to be talking about God being our Father, and it's not, he's talking about other things. Like, he's talking about why should we do good works, and he relates it to God being our Father and how that makes God look as our Father when we do those good works. At Matthew 6, verse 9, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, our Father. That's how we're to address God because that's who he is. In Matthew 23, verse 9, and call no man your father on earth. Okay, This is the problem with putting snippets in. You don't have the context. So I put that snippet, and I thought, oh, that's not a good verse for Father's Day, because it looks like he's saying that, like, my little boy shouldn't call me father. Not what he's saying. He's saying don't call equivalent of clergy. Don't call. He's saying in the context, he's talking about teachers, and he's talking about putting other men in the place of God and giving them titles of reverence that only should belong to God. And why should we not do that? Because you have one Father who is in heaven. And in 2 Corinthians 6:18, I love this verse. And I will be a father to you. This is God speaking. And you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. In 1 John 3:1, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. God is the perfect and the true Father. And all fathers, remember I said we're shadows? We're shadows of the true Father. We reflect a little bit of what the true Father is like in our good moments. When we're good fathers, we reflect what he's like. And the reason that we're shadows of that is because we're not the true. No father is the true father. He's the true father. And we're reflecting that. And the reason that it's not just a direct carbon copy, or rather a shadow, is because we reflect the father, the true father, the perfect father. We reflect him very imperfectly. So you see a shadow of what the father is like when you look at a good father here on earth. Fathers are supposed to be symbols, pointers to something bigger than us, to something truer than us, to something more perfect than us. And the beauty of that is that, okay, we don't have to depend on our earthly fathers to fill our father needs. My father doesn't have to be perfect because he's not the true and perfect Father. I don't have to be a perfect father because I'm not the true and perfect father. I'm supposed to be a shadow, a reflection of that father, but I'm not the real thing. He is. We're supposed to, as fathers on this earth, we're supposed to reflect what the true father, who the true father is and what he is like. We're supposed to, by being fathers, we're supposed to show what the true father is and how what he is like. And to the degree that we do that, we give God glory because we make him visible to other people. That's the purpose, in large part, of fathers on this earth. And we also, by doing that, are supposed to make those who look to us as fathers to seek the true father. My children's quest in finding the father is not finding me. It's not finding Nemo when the movie ends. When is the father looking for the son, or the other way around? Okay, well, then that doesn't work. It's the other. Pretend it was the other way around. That's why I didn't use it at the beginning. That's what I thought it was. It's the other way. My children aren't supposed to seek their fatherly needs purely in me. Rather, by seeking them, looking to me to be their father, that's supposed to direct them to the, and I'm supposed to direct them to the true and the perfect father. That's the way it's supposed to work. My need of a father is not supposed to make me seek after my own father primarily and solely and end there, but rather it's supposed to make me look to God and have my needs for a father met by him. And the beautiful thing is, that's exactly what God does. When you look through the Bible, God meets the needs that a father meets in his children. Or said another way, God meets the needs that children have for their fathers. But because he's a true and perfect father, he meets those needs perfectly. We receive what we need from our Father in God. We receive his presence. If your father was there or partially there or never there, well, God, when you become God's child, he joins you to himself because he puts his spirit in you. And you have the presence of God dwelling in you. Look at Romans 8:15. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And he connects it to this idea of us being children of God. And it's beautiful. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. We receive from God true love and approval. I love my boys, and I approve of them. But you know what? there's a lot of times when I shouldn't, and I don't mean to, I don't think, but I make them feel that I don't approve as much of them because I'm trying to manipulate them to change. That's not good. We receive, as God's children, when we're God's child, we receive His love and His approval poured out on us. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 6. To the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the beloved. He's made us loved and approved of by Him in Christ. And He guides us like a father should do with his children. God the Father guides His children. Go back to Romans 8. Look at the verse prior to the one we read, verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. God the Father guides us through His Spirit in the way that we would look to our fathers to guide us and to teach us and to direct us. God does that perfectly. He protects us. He carries everything in His hand. He controls everything. And when you're God's child, you can look at the good and the bad that happens and say, my Father is in control of that. None of that was a surprise to Him. And He's directing the course of my life. He provides for His children. Look back at Matthew. This is beautiful. I like to think I provide for my children, but not perfectly. Look at Matthew 6:26. Look at what Jesus said. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Or Matthew 7, flip over a page, verse 9. Or which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children. So he's using, let me just break there. He's using the example of, we know that fathers are supposed to give things to their children, to take care of their children. If my children say that they're hungry, I'm supposed to give them food. Maybe not pizza, maybe a sandwich, but whatever, you know, I decide what I give them, but I'm going to provide for them. You know that I should do that. I know that you should do that. If you're a father, we expect that. And so Jesus is using that as a pointer to the true father, saying, if you provide for your children like that, think of how your heavenly Father provides for His children. Let's finish verse 11 then. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? And remember, something else that fathers give their children, give them identity. And this is something that is so easy to forget, because I carry the name Konarski. I also carry the name Christian. I'm God's child. I'm God's dearly beloved child. God the Father, the perfect and true Father, gives His children identity of being His children. Isn't that what it's talking about in Ephesians 2, maybe verse 8 or 6 or 7? Read that section. It's there. Where it says that He's placed us in heavenly places. He's seated us in heavenly places with Christ. He's made us part of His family. We have His identity. We're made children of our Father, and that becomes who we are. And so if you say, okay, I see that. I see that God is a true Father. I see that He gives to His children, and everything that I so deeply desire from my Father, and whether I receive it imperfectly to some greater degree or to a lesser degree, I see that God gives that to me. Okay, I get that. How come we don't feel that more? How come we don't feel that to a deeper extent? How come we don't feel that loved and provided for and taken care of and guided and by our Heavenly Father? Why? Well, it's because our tendency is to abandon Him. Our tendency is to walk away or drift away or run away from Him. So that's why we rebel against God, and we've all rebelled against God. That's why we rebel against God, and that's the meaning of rebelling against God. Like when I was a teenager and I rebelled against my parents and I left, very late teenager, I think like old enough that I could have done this, you know, lived on my own, and I left their home. I rebelled against them. We rebel against our Heavenly Father, and we leave Him. And how does that rebellion look? The same way it looks when a teenager rebels against their parents. We stop obeying Him. We stop saying, what do you want me to do? Okay, I'll do it. We say, I'm going to be my own boss. You're not going to get to tell me what to do. The very same thing that as children we did to our parents, we do to God the Father. Then we abandon Him. And then even after we return to Him, if you have returned to God, okay, even after we return to Him, we still have this drift. We have this tendency to, we don't run away from Him necessarily, but we just kind of drift away. away, and we don't look to Him to meet our needs and to be our Father. That's why we don't. So then we say, okay, then how do we get back to God? Again, some of the most beautiful, I keep saying that about every verse, because these are some of the most beautiful passages in the Bible. Go to John 14. Jesus, the Son of God, came to take us back to the Father. Look at John 14, verse 6. Look at what Jesus says about Himself. How do we return to the Father? Jesus takes us to the Father. He opens a way for us to go to the Father. In verse 6, Jesus said to Him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. If you had known Me, you would have known My Father also. From now on you know Him and have seen Him. Philip said to Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know Me, Philip? Whoever has seen Me has seen the Father. How can you say, show Me the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in Me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on My own authority, but the Father who dwells in Me does these works. Believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in Me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Jesus takes us to the Father. That sounds beautiful until you think about how He takes us to the Father. He takes us to the Father through the cross, what we celebrated and what we remembered as we took the Lord's Supper. He takes us through His brutal death and sacrifice. He opens a way for us to return to the Father. Look at Ephesians 2, 14. Talking about Jesus, for He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments established in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of two, so making peace, and might, listen to this, reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And He came, Jesus, and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to you who were near, for through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are, and this is beautiful, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Jesus came to bring us back to God, and we return to God. We enter into His family when we give ourselves to Him. We receive God the Father, the true and perfect Father, as our personal Father when we give ourselves to Him, when we return home like the prodigal son, when we surrender to Him. That's what repentance is. It's us deciding that He will be the boss of us again, that He will get to tell us what to do, that we will surrender to Him and do whatever He says, that He will be our Father, and that we will listen to Him. And then when we're baptized, we're sealing that decision. When we repent and we're baptized, we return, we give ourselves to the Father, and we become His children, and He adopts us into His family. Look at one more verse, Galatians 3, 26. For in Christ Jesus, you all are sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. He adopts us into His family when we surrender ourselves to Him. So, God is the true and perfect Father. How do we respond to that? What do we do? I think it's been woven throughout this, but the first one is kind of been implied, so let me make it explicit. If you're a father, us fathers, we should be good fathers to our children. We should imitate and reflect to the best of our ability the true and perfect Father. We should be strong shadows, good reflections of the true Father. We should look at what God is like and try to be like that to our children. That's one application. I think another application is that we should receive the true Father. If you're not God's child, we say if you're not a Christian yet or if you haven't, but think about what that is. If you haven't made the decision to give yourself, to surrender yourself to God, you are not God's child yet. You're living on your own. And God invites you to return to Him. And this Father's Day, like every day, He invites you to come back to Him and to surrender yourself to Him and to accept Him as your Father, putting yourself under His authority, to repent, to be baptized, to make a decision to give yourself to Him. And in this community, when you're ready to make that decision, tell someone. You can become God's child. And even more, God will become your Father. That's a beautiful thing. And for those of us who have already made that decision, and God is our Father, we say, what's the application? And I was thinking about this and praying about this, and And then because of some things that I was thinking about personally, it joined together, and it was like, oh, that's what the application is. I think that's a good application for Christians. And that is, look to God. If you're a Christian, if you're God's child, look to God to meet your father needs. Look to God for your identity. That's who you are. You're God's child. Whether you're proud to bear your family name or not, doesn't matter. You're God's child. That's your identity. Look to find your approval in Him. Even as a 41-year-old man, I still look to my father for his approval. And on those occasions when he says, I'm proud of you, or somebody says, your dad was talking about you. This week, somebody called me and said, and another older gentleman who's kind of a father figure in one time in my life, called and he left a message, and he said, I was talking to your dad, I wanted to eat with your dad, and he was telling me something about me, and I felt so good. It was like, ooh, my dad is, he talks about me, he's happy with, okay, as good as that is, I should look, you should look, we should look for our approval and our love from the Heavenly Father, and know that if we're in Christ, our Father approves of us completely. We don't have to wait for those moments when he says, I'm happy with you, because he's always happy with us. He always completely approves of us. He provides for us. He protects us, and he guides us by his Spirit. Look to your true and perfect Father to fill the needs that we all have for a Father. Why don't we stand? We'll pray together, and then we will sing. Dear God, we come to you and we thank you that you are a good, good, so very good Father. Thank you, God, that you love us. Thank you, God, that you take care of us. Thank you that you offer your approval and identity and provision and guidance and everything that you've wired us to look for in a Father, and you are the perfect Father. So God, I pray that you would help us to look for that in you. For those who have never made the decision to surrender to you as Father, I pray that they would repent and be baptized and give themselves to you. I pray, God, for those of us who have, that you would help us to look to you for everything that a father should provide for their children, because you offer that to us. And we just have to look and reach out and ask. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.